Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a comment or two. And without further delay, we're going to go ahead and get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. Reg, what's up, player?
What's up, Fresh? I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. How's that quarantine working out for you, bro?
Quarantine pimping, player. Quarantine pimping. You know how it's going,
it
down.
It is, man. Hey, man, I'm getting used to it a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of like it, bro.
I'm trying to look at it, you know, glass half full a little bit, man.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about it, man, is that my job is a lot easier when I don't have to deal with people face-to-face.
I think we're all sort of figuring that out. Yeah, and we're starting to understand that less is more.
Less is a whole lot more, man.
Less is more.
Right. So yeah, man, what we gonna talk about today, man? We gonna hit that Rona again, man, and talk about some other stuff, man.
I mean, I guess it's, you know, we just...
It is what it is at this particular point.
Yeah, it is. It is, but, you know, there's a economic impact on all of us, and specifically with Black folks. So in general, I thought maybe we can talk a little bit about that from our, you know, different perspectives and see you know, what we can share with the folks today.
Yeah, man, we can definitely do that, man. The one thing that has from the first, well, let's put it like this, and this has been kind of a thing that's been going around within the you know, within the ranks of the I don't know what you call it, the conscious rank and file per se, as far mm-hmm. as how disproportionately COVID-19 is actually affecting us.
Right.
Now, it's not a... The funny thing about it is that it's not a disease that is very indiscriminate because it's science. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's not like that we are targeted. You know, I don't like the conspiracy theories, even though based on some of the information that's been out there as far as the origins of the disease.
Yeah.
It makes a really decent argument for, you know, for some type of, you know, biological weaponry test, if you will. It makes a very good case for it. But be that as it may, we can't prove that. So I think we should look at it from, you know, a practical standpoint and how it's actually really affecting us. You know, in the state in the state that we live in, which is North Carolina, for those that are catching this show for the first time. You know, our statistics, and this is directly from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, the percentage of deaths from this particular disease is actually 61% white people.
Right.
So it kind of blows some of those theories out of the water because it doesn't hold true in every single spot. And, you know, we're, you know, a pretty heavily populated area. So, you know, I don't like when people say, oh yeah, it's affecting us more, but the reasons behind it affecting us more are more social issues and class issues, you know, systematic racism type of historical issues that have put us in a position to where we're more vulnerable or more susceptible So, yeah. You know, when you talk about, you know, lack of resources, lack of generational wealth, you know, it puts you in a position to where you can't readily afford, you know, generationally speaking, you can't afford, you know, the best health care if you can afford any.
Right.
You can't eat the balanced meals if you're even eating. You can't treat those comorbidities that you get once, you know, once you've lived a lifestyle of, you know, lack of nourishment and lack of treatment. You know, all that makes you susceptible to it. So,
yeah,
that's why I say it's social economic. But just like you always say, it's like we end up being last in just about everything when it comes to, you know, shit raining down. We always left without the umbrella when it comes to shit raining down.
We typically are, and quite frankly, I don't buy into a lot of the, I guess, in the media that says that it is affecting most of us, most African Americans. And I think that is more or less, more of that is a fear tactic. Like you gave out a stat saying that just in North Carolina, it's impacting more white Americans in this state. But yet, I bet you if you turn on the TV, the whole feeling of that will make you, you know, the media and the whole propaganda piece comes into play is to sort of flip the switch, right?
Right.
And make you think that it's a black. That's why what's going on in China over the last few weeks, how they're shunning Africans out of China, is the same type of scare tactic that they may use anywhere with here. Oh, look at that black person. Don't come this way type of thing, where statistically it's not that, you know, it's flip flop.
Right.
And so that's where I land with the whole COVID thing. I look at the numbers first and try to weigh risk. Like if I see something is killing less than 2% of the entire population, that's a pretty good risk for me. Not saying I shouldn't take care of myself,
right,
but if it's killing less than 2% versus other diseases and things and events that can, you know, cause more, you know, fatalities. I'm like, okay, less than 2%, and it's supposed to be a virus that's keeping us, you know, like this. All right, I'll take a chance for the family. You guys stay home. I'll run the errands. You know, I'll do whatever because I'm, you know, a less likely chance. But that's just a sidebar.
No, it's not really a sidebar, man. It's real shit because, you know, those are the type of decisions that a lot of us are having to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely relevant. Back when the cases weren't as exponential as they are right now, I was saying something really, really similar. I was basically saying, look, it wasn't even a 1% at the particular time. And I was like, why is everybody panicking? But I had no idea of the gravity of the disease. And I don't think anybody really did.
It's unknown.
Right. And especially within our current administration, which is, which is a shit show, to put it mildly.
Oh my God.
And like I said, that's putting it mildly. I mean, it really is a shit
show. It's a minstrel. It's a fucking minstrel show.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Oh my gosh.
At least with a minstrel show, you get some tap dancing or something.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Like we not even being entertained. this motherfucker's up there just.
Yeah.
He just blowing shit out of his face, bro. That's what it is.
That's ridiculous.
You know, our readiness for it, you know, kind of shows our lack of leadership and the type of dangerous incompetence, if you will, that is leading our country. And it's not even it. And let's just forget the fact that he's just racist from, you know, for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put that aside. Let's even put aside that he is potentially, you know, based on reports and lawsuits, you know, an abuser, a rapist, very bad at business. Just put all of those negatives aside,
mm-hmm.
and look at his leadership capacity. as a man.
Terrible.
And he's horrible.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
It's terrible. Yeah.
He doesn't have the temperament. He doesn't have the knowledge. He doesn't even have the desire to seek the knowledge. And when you're a narcissist and when everything has to be about you, when everything positive has to have a genesis of your brain,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything negative has to be put on somebody else, that is it's comical. And like I said, it's dangerously incompetent at this particular point, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he's basically showing us how he was on The Apprentice. It's like, you know, quick, off the hip decisions, right. You know, that, you know,
and that has its place.
You just sort of shake your head at.
And that has its place, you know, mm-hmm. because, mm-hmm. you know, but what you don't do is you don't share those decisions. I'll give you a prime example. You remember that night Obama got on TV and said that we killed Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
Didn't nobody know it was going down. But they had to make a decision. They had been training. They mm-hmm. made the decision and said, okay, if we're going to do this, we need to start training. We need to do, you know, practice runs. They even built a structure that was identical to where Osama was staying. So, but mm-hmm. but at that particular time, he had to make a decision based on the information that he had. And he was like, okay, instead of making the decision to say, okay, let's just go fly in there and get him now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it, and we're going to do it quickly. But let's get as much planning and preparation done to minimize our, you know, collateral damage, you know, and minimize the death toll if possible. That's mm-hmm. what leadership does. It's like, yeah, it needs to be done quickly. But it doesn't need to be done in a hurry. And there's a difference. And that is the problem of this particular administration. And, yeah. you know, it's like they want to turn a cruise ship on a dime, and you can't do that.
Well, I think Americans have been, black and white, we're just used to being massaged and being coddled. Not to saying that that's weakness, but like we want a leader to sort of give us a sense of hope through their words and through their actions, right? And that's fine. And I think he is the total opposite of that. So on top of what you just said, which I agree with, is how he goes about doing that. Carrying out his leadership is like somebody can be, you can be stern and say, hey, you know what? He's super stern, but I respect it because he did things timely and orderly in a way that, you know, gives a result, have some solution. But this guy didn't have any, you know, his process in getting to those results is like, he didn't know how to communicate it.
Right.
And in between all that, not to reiterate what you just said, because I agree with it, he just didn't know how to really make the average person feel like, you know, like at least make me feel like you're going to shit on me if you're going to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
At least I see the shit coming. You know what I'm saying? It's just like people to say, well, you know, I don't like you, but I respect you. People don't even like him or respect him. You know what I'm saying?
So let's, you know, we got to talk about white people for a second, man. Now, what I don't understand is this. Now, you remember it was all good when the economy was looking good on paper, even though the roots of that growth was, you know, basically spurred on by what the Obama administration had done.
Right.
Now, everything is all good. Trump can do no wrong. What gets me now is white people are still not clamoring to get this dude out of office in November. They're not even, okay, I mean, everybody's dying at this particular point. There's not a race that hasn't been affected by this virus.
Mm-hmm.
More than 10% of the population is not working right now.
Yep.
Stock market has lost more over the past month than it has ever lost. We're, you know, it's more jobless people than in more jobless individuals than in the Great Depression at this particular point.
Mm-hmm.
What these white people gonna do, Reg?
Hey, one thing they doing is the ones that are still for him, they stand on code. And being that it's a bad code, the code is just stand with your team to get done with whatever your team says that the mission is supposed to be. That's the only thing we can learn from it. They crazy, but that's the only thing we can learn from it.
They would rather die than see us get a leg up on anything, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the code. That means being the code, when we talk about being unapologetic about stuff, that's what it is. Like, you know what? I know, and I work with folk like that. I'm sure we all do. They, from their political stance with stuff, they can be the nicest people or whatever and be great coworkers, but from their political understanding and just where they stand, they will go far right just to stay with their team. You see what I'm saying? A lot of us, you know, not to break the conversation, but a lot of us will, you know, black folks will break code of being who we are, what we need to accomplish, because we have a lot of division, but we'll just break the general. If it's almost like saying, if you have no food in your refrigerator, why are you concerned about, you know, what books on your shelf? Damn it, the first priority is getting food in the refrigerator, right? So using this analogy, white folks will say, damn it, I'm sticking to that refrigerator regardless of what goes on in this house. It can be packed full of food. Refrigerator is still my number one priority. You know what I'm saying? So it's being very specific. They will die for that. And that's what they're doing now in Michigan and places. They coming out with their guns and things, talking about liberty, and they comparing stuff to slavery.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Comparing this situation to slavery. It's laughable, but then it's like almost,
it's like these motherfuckers
insulting.
Are really crazy. Yeah, it's like these motherfuckers are really crazy. Yeah. You know, I mean, you let a bunch of black people roll up on the state capitol with some guns, and you see how quickly that shit gets gets done. So,
but at the same time, I know a lot of us probably get, you know, arrested, shot and killed, whatever. But what do you die for? What do you live for? You know what I'm saying? What are some of the things that you live for? And that's some things we have to think about, like, or what are you willing to die for? You know what I'm saying? Right. If something means that much to you, you know, COVID. In this whole situation, black folks have been surviving all their lives, right? This is
right
for most of us as a group. This ain't shit, but for them, it's like it really is like a pandemic situation. It's like, you know, SOS,
right? Because you know how it is, man. They the first one to jump out the windows, first one to hang themselves.
Yep,
you know, first one to do all that. I mean, you know, this it's like any step backwards seems like it's a death blow.
Exactly.
But anyway, man, we're going to move on from that, because in the same vein, when we're talking about these protests and states being closed that are ready to open or have opened up, personally, man, I'm not trying to be nobody's motherfucking guinea pig, bro.
True that.
I'm not trying to. I will stay my ass in the motherfucking house. You know what I'm saying? This is not something that I want to test.
Okay.
It's not something that I want to test, because I don't like recklessness, and I don't like I don't like people that act like they don't have shit to lose, and motherfuckers that are clamoring just to open the state up, blah, blah, blah. Man, fuck that. Y'all act like y'all don't have anything to lose, and those people are dangerous, bro. They're dangerous. I don't care if they got on masks, gloves, fucking wetsuits, you know, contagion outfits. I don't care what the fuck they got on. It's the mentality, man. It's the mentality. And when you have the mentality, you make mistakes.
Right.
And when you make mistakes, man, other people are going to pay for that shit. You know, another interesting stat about this, man. And this is the thing, man. I don't want to be one that contributes to this particular shit. Let's just look at North Carolina again, man. When we talk about the number of deaths that we've had. And this is updated at 11 o'clock every day. So at the time of this particular recording... at the time of this particular recording, we've had 399 deaths. That was updated at 11 a.m. on May 1st. So this is going to mm-hmm. air a couple days after that. But and we will mm-hmm. undoubtedly have more cases. But as of May 1st, 2020, 399 deaths. Okay. Statewide. Okay. Now, I already gave you the percentage of white people that died from that. Right. What's really shocking about this is the age. Okay. Because the most cases, because 41% of the almost 11,000 cases that we've seen in North Carolina are from the ages of 25 to 49. That's our age group right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now get this. Out of those deaths, the 300, let's just round it up to 400. Out mm-hmm. of 400 deaths, 97% have been 50 and over.
Okay.
That's crazy, bro.
So what is it, not, I guess I'm not asking to look it up, or but I wonder, what is it for the rest of the country?
I'm not,
because I saw something where it was like over the age of like 70 or 75 and older is the higher percentage nationwide. But if you're saying over,
in North Carolina,
you said 97%.
97%
are 50 years and
are 50 years and older.
Yeah,
because 87% are 65 and over. 10% are 50 to 64. So that's 97%.
Wow. Yeah, that's.
In North Carolina, we've had no deaths from 0 to 24 years old.
Okay.
And see, the fucked up thing about that is that it's giving these young people the air of invincibility, not knowing that, hey, you can still take this shit home to your father who's 50 and 60, or your grandmother who's 70. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the, and a lot of people got on the attorney general because he was like, I said attorney general, but is he the surgeon general or attorney general? Surgeon general. Yeah, my bad. You know, don't look out for your big mama and all that shit.
Pop, pop.
I was like, this motherfucker right here. But
yeah,
what he said was true as fuck, though. What he said was true as fuck. I didn't like the way he tried to code switch. If black people, smart black people, college educated black people, listen to me. Powerful position holding black people. Listen to me, people. That is not how you code switch. You know what I'm saying? Say that, how you do it. From an economic standpoint, man, when we're talking about opening up states and shit like that, and, you know, not bringing shit home to Pop Pop and Big Mama, you know, what do you feel is the right time to get back out there and start doing shit?
Oh, you mean like a date?
We just talking, bro. It's a podcast. We just talking.
I don't know. Man, I mean, you know, today is May 1st, technically. Like, what does that mean? And I don't know, dude. I think each month should be, you know, everybody's looking at the numbers, right? And if numbers technically in situation, because I looked at the whole, I went back and looked at some of the old influenza when flu came out like a century ago when it really first hit hard, and they were just looking at numbers, and I think they made some hasty decisions where once the numbers ticked down in the country, let's say it went from, you know, the number of cases stayed still for 2 weeks. Then they opened it up, and I think they had some big parade, and then most people got the flu from that one parade. Then the entire, like more than two-thirds of the country did in the previous months or something like that. So I think it's a time period of where everything just stays stable. And if that is, if that's June, if that's July, August, whatever, once the numbers tick down or something, I think it needs a, needs to be a, at a point to where numbers are stable and starts to decrease. When I say decrease, you can't take away numbers of death, right? It's just number of cases.
Right.
And which is really still weird. That's a whole podcast by itself as far as how they determine the cases. But I don't know the answer to that. Me and the wife were talking recently. I said about football season, right? Because they just had the NFL draft, and I'm thinking about college and stuff. I'm like, you know what? Dude, she was like, dude, school's going to be out. Don't even worry about college football this year. I was like, you think so? You don't think? So, dude, I don't know. I mean, I think probably July, or I think by July, the country would sort of start really letting up as a whole country. And maybe, you know, people start to feel more normal. I see more people. I'm like the errands runner in the household here for like most stuff. And I see more people with less masks at grocery stores and at Walmart, whatever, if wherever I have to pick up something. I'm starting to see less of that happening. So I think maybe people, I don't know if people just sort of getting tired of it or whatever. But I don't know what you think.
I think that I will see you motherfuckers in 2021.
Okay.
That's exactly what I think.
Okay. 2021. Well, hey, you know, I read some stuff about some phase two this fall or something, you know. It's everything has some, you know, somebody got writing about something.
I mean, this is the thing, man. I mean, you know, the flu is seasonal. So, you know, yeah. I mean, it's.
Well, you know, I'll be one of the first to really be going back out there. I'm not rushing anything, but I mean, you know, I am a, you know, I look at numbers and I weigh risk based on numbers mainly, you know. I shared with you before, if something is killing less than 2% of the people, and I feel pretty good with it. If it was, you know, if it was much higher than that, it remind me of the movie Outbreak. Like, you can't breathe around somebody right. And you die on the spot type of shit, you know, right. Contagion stuff where it's like literally,
I mean,
you know,
right, it's like that though, man. It's, I mean, that's kind of what it is right now. It can be transmitted in those particular ways is what I'm saying. So, you know, I don't think they're being serious enough about it, man. You know, I'm almost like, you know, I don't want to say fuck the economy because I mean, you know, we all need to work. I mean, and I get people being upset that they can't, you know, I honestly get it, but I'm just not stupid enough to try to test it. You know, I mean, I don't have that type of courage that is going to allow me to override my common sense. You know, okay. my common sense is a whole lot stronger than my courage at this particular time.
Okay, that sounds like a good meme.
Hey.
Common strength, and put the greater than sign to it.
Right.
Common sense versus the courage. That's a good meme right there. That's a t-shirt, bro. That's Olive Fresh Originals.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's not hip hop though, so.
Mm-hmm. Hey man, everything's hip hop.
But man, hey, what I do want to remind people of though is that in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox. We've got some more outlets coming in the future. I think we're on Podbean now, too. And you can also connect with us on our social media platforms at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. And we appreciate your support through everything, through all this. We definitely appreciate our listeners. Our content is not as free flowing as it is. We're in a different position than what we normally are, but we're definitely gonna try to be a little bit little bit more expedient with some of the content. But man, I'm telling you, it's a lot of shit out here that's not really happening anymore.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that motherfuckers are in the house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's, hey, I will tell you, I tell you who's getting paid though, man. All these Instagram girls that got the OnlyFans, man. Motherfuckers ain't doing nothing but sitting in the house spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Watching videos of these chicks, man. Not me. Yeah. Not me, because I don't pay for nothing.
True. But I do appreciate some of the...
I'm too much of a pimp to be paying.
I see some of the music people that's doing one battles, like the whole Teddy Riley babyface thing, stuff like that. Those have been entertaining. Nice, some DJs.
Yeah.
I saw something with Badu and Jill Scott coming up. Supposedly, that'd be interesting.
Like, I saw that today.
Yeah,
it might be cool.
Pretty.
I think it's gonna grab a lot of attention, man.
Yeah,
dude, I'm out of bourbon, man. I need somebody in Atlanta to pick me up a bottle of Majesty Bourbon.
I was gonna ask you, so you can't order it, right?
Not right now.
Okay,
man. We're actively working on getting some online distribution set up. But,
damn it, man!
But I'm telling you, bro, this is what the this COVID shit kind of put a pinch on
yeah.
all stuff, man. But yeah, we're gonna be back at it. We'll be in like 33. Once we hit online, we'll have like 33 different states that we can ship to.
Nice.
So it's about to get real ugly out there.
And North Carolina better be the first one, damn it.
Actually, man, you can't ship liquor to North Carolina, bro.
Ah, shit.
I know, man. It's like...
What about South Carolina?
South Carolina is there.
Okay, I drive down to the parents.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Across the line.
North Carolina is like the mob on the liquor shit, bro.
Yeah.
The mob, for real. So... As a matter of fact, man, I stopped going to the ABC store, man. I just go across the line to South Carolina, man. I'm like, I'm not contributing money to this, you know, to this mafioso type of arrangement.
Yeah, so, you know that
they stop a lot of dough flow, man.
Right, a lot of that happened because of the Appalachians. I don't know the history of that, but.
But you know what though, man? There's a bill, and then we're gonna go after this, man. But there's a bill that was supposed to have been voted on that they've pushed back a couple times about privatizing liquor stores again. It's in the House, so so we may be going back to privatization, which would be wonderful.
Yeah, good luck, because ABC got locked.
No, that's the kind of life. But in the meantime, man, if you're in the Georgia area, man, Metro Atlanta, Savannah, Columbus, pick up some Majesty Burger.
Majesty, yeah.
Maybe you're a niece.
That's what you want, man. Yeah.
My daughter is like a 7.5, 8. She's getting big.
She's getting tall, man. Yeah. Getting tall.
Yeah, that's some serious. But anyway, man, we about this piece, man.
All right, brother. Be good. Be safe and behave, man.
We out.
Could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest anew and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.